Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Did you guys memorize the gospel reading? Fantastic, Tona. I'm calling on you for all the questions because you said yes. Well, last night during our service, I attempted to do the second part in what I was drawing up as a sermon series. And for those of you who were last week, you experienced the first take on it, which was basically the concept behind the sermon series was to provide, for me to provide the congregation with various contextual examples of Lutheran congregations that were facing specific issues, and then using your opinions and advice to give them advice as to this is they should do this or they should do that. And I gave options, and then I took all of the recorded answers that you guys gave me and last week, and I went into an Excel document, which is so much fun, and I listed everything. Was someone clapping for Excel? God bless you, Deaconess Ann. So last night I went into phase two of it. And I don't want to say it didn't go well, because that would be a personal perception if it went well or it didn't go well. But I can tell you it didn't achieve the goal that I had intended for it. So you guys are getting something fairly completely different from what they got last night. So some of the questions that came during the message last night were, why am I even asking these questions? Why? What's the purpose of even doing the hypothetical? If I'm eventually going to get to our congregation and ask similar questions, why not just jump right to it? So what and why were a couple of questions that came at me. And for part of the reason, I started off by saying, well, in last November in our congregation meeting, we had discussion over issues such as accessibility to our facilities. And we agreed, those who were there voted, and we agreed that we are going to look into ways to enhance our facility, our ministries, and what we do in order to make it more accessible to all people. And that's just kind of, we were going to do some research on that. Well, then we did some research, and then we came to the May congregation meeting and said, this is what we've found. These are some of the things we've found. Now we would potentially like to move forward with doing some of those things. But in order to do those things, we need money. So do we have permission to get money, to ask for money? And the congregation majority voted yes. So with that, with any enhancements or however I want to sugarcoat that word, enhancement is just a code word to make change sound nicer, yes? And so I was using these sermons, the sermon series, to try to gain some perspective as far as we proceed in this process of making our church more accessible and potentially changing some things. I wanted to know what pitfalls I might be running into. I wanted to know opinions and how much support. And so I thought if I do this sermon series, I can get some information from everybody and see where people are at. And it doesn't get rid of the question of why not just jump right to our congregation, which was stated last night during the message. All I can say is, why doing it during a sermon? From my experience, and it's not just here at this congregation, but it's any congregation I've ever visited, congregations I've been involved with, my experience is if we were to say we're going to talk about changes that we're going to be making potentially for accessibility issues, and we're going to hold several information meetings, my experience has been at those information meetings, we have 5 to 8 people show up. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. It could be accessibility or how we translate the Bible and interpret it, or what kind of coffee we should buy for post-service fellowship. The same 5 to 8 people show up for all of them, which is fantastic. I'm not a math major. I wasn't in college or in graduate school. However, if you look around, are there more than 5 to 8 people in our congregation? Yes. So I thought, where's the one place that I can get the most response from people? The worship service. I also approached it from a mindset of saying, churches tend to be, and I'll just put this out there, churches tend to be suspicious of activities that are performed by council. Suspicious. And the people on council giggled. They tend to be suspicious about what's happening in those meetings. And so I thought, well, if I bring it to the congregation and I get responses, then I can say, it's not council, it's not me. This is what all of you think. And that answer wasn't sufficient for some people last evening. The other reality that I could do that I was given the opportunity or the challenge for was I could just come out here and tell you, this is what we should do as a congregation. This is the right answer. But I'm learning that if I just come to you and say, this is the right answer, if I don't have your or the majority of people's buy-in, how far will that go? Nowhere. So why talk in these hypothetical contexts, which you can tell I'm not doing again today? And it takes me to the gospel story. In the gospel story, Jesus is talking with crowds. And if you want to look at your bulletin, you can check to make sure I'm not making this up. He's talking to the crowds. And how does he speak to the crowds? In parables. He's in a boat, because there's so many. But he speaks to them in parables. Are parables very direct means of communication? And this parable that he tells us is familiar to many of us, the parable of the sower. And it goes over the various ways the seed is sown and the different results. Now, if this parable that Jesus tells were simply about seeds and the various methods of planting, which option? Option A is rocky ground, option B is no root, option C is among the weeds, and option D is good soil. If it's just about the seeds and the various planting options, which option do we pick? Good soil, D. It's easy. We know the answer. You see, if we're focused on the result, what's going to get the best growth of the seed? We know the answer. And if we're focused on the results, if Jesus is focused on the results, if he knows the answer is D, then why do you think he tells them a parable? Because they didn't know. But he could just tell them, Harold. He could say, you don't know this, but here's the answer. I'm the Son of God. I figured this out a while ago. Ooh, that was really nice. She's so humble. Angela said, it's kind of like math. Or I would say even music, which is something else that you're very good with. It's kind of like math, she's saying. Someone can just show you the answer, here's the answer, but it doesn't mean if they just show you the answer that you can replicate it with your actions. You need to learn, you go from here to here to here to get to your solution, right? Someone could say, oh, here's your viola or violin? Both. Okay, wow. Sorry. I didn't know I will get lower when I talk to you. Someone could take a piece of music and say, oh, this is how you play. You know, that's my impression of viola / violin. But if you don't know it, if you don't practice it or see it, then you can't do it. So Jesus tells parables. Do you think that when Jesus told the parables, because as it goes on in chapter 13, it repeatedly, it's him telling parable after parable after parable to the point where you get to all the way to the end of the chapter and it says, Jesus did not say anything to them that was not in the parable. Do you think when Jesus told the parables, he was hoping they would come to the correct conclusion? Now, with my hypotheticals, I was hoping to achieve a certain result. As the pastor, you know, I'm not going to stand up here or in a congregation meeting or in a council meeting and tell you, I think this is the best financial decision for the church. Finances are not my area of expertise. I'm not going to tell the congregation, if we do this with the property or the facility, this is the best use of that, because, once again, that's not the area that I've studied in. But from a spiritual and a faith perspective, it was my hope that the weeks of going over different contexts and the potential responses would produce thought-invoking discussions that would eventually lead us to go, we think this is the right thing for this congregation and that congregation, and so then eventually when we discuss our congregation, we'll have a track record of we pick this kind of thing, this kind of thing, this kind of thing, and now we're at the right answer. But I realized last night after the 30-minute sermon, and I'm not kidding you, it was 30 minutes long, that even in itself, what I was intending to do, I'm not too big of an individual to admit that also was results-driven. I was hoping to lead you in a certain way, to not give you the answer, but let you to discover on your own so that when I ask the question, you would give the right answer. And being results-driven, I'm convinced now, after last night, in a lot of prayer and prayer this morning, I'm convinced that being results-driven is too simple for God. Because to me, the parable that we hear today from Matthew chapter 13 is about more than seeds and planting options. This parable is about abundant love, forgiveness, and grace. It's about abundant love, forgiveness, and grace. This parable is not trying to figure out which is the best method to plant seeds. It's about the fact that when God has seeds to plant, God plants them everywhere. God's love goes everywhere. God's forgiveness goes everywhere, and God's grace goes everywhere. Did God's grace still go to the rocky ground? Did it still go to the place that had no roots? Did it still go among the weeds? It's not about the results and focusing on we want to accomplish this. It's about knowing who we are and what we are about. And that regardless of the results, it is our calling to behave in a certain way. We can't control the results, but we can be faithful to God's will, mission, and vision. So here's what I'm going to encourage us to do. I did use, you know, because I didn't want to let Deaconess Ann down. I did use Excel this week. I did compile all the data. And I have all of that, and I'll probably release it at some point in the near future. But moving beyond that now, here's what I'm encouraging us to do. I want us to take the amazing generosity and love and hope and joy that exists in this congregation and not use it so that we can accomplish a certain thing, but I want us just to use it like we will never run out of it. And as far as what takes root or what doesn't, for us, we will just let the seeds fall where they may and trust God with everything else. Amen.